From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Thank you for tuning in. The Alaska legislature passed a bill Friday that would boost per-student education funding by $1,000. The bill now advances to Governor Mike Dunleavy, who has said he plans to veto it. In an 11-9 vote Friday morning, the Senate passed a stripped-down version of the House Bill 69, removing all policy items and leaving only the funding increase. Three Senate majority members, including Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman, voted against the bill. Stedman said he supported increasing education funding, but he didn't see how this funding would fit into a balanced budget.
We also have to have a balanced budget by the Constitution. And it's very difficult when we're already $200 million underwater to fit this in and make it work.
In an interview with KCAW on Monday, Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Hemshute said funding Alaska's public schools is also a constitutional obligation.
The Constitution doesn't say we should maintain our schools when we have the money to do it. We are obligated to maintain our schools.
Governor Mike Dunleavy called the bill a, quote, joke, and said he will veto the bill. Hemshute, who sponsored the bill, says that's not necessarily the end.
We have the opportunity to override. We still have a month of session left. There's a lot. There's a lot we can still do.
The amended version of House Bill 69 now goes to the governor. A veto override would require a two-thirds vote from the legislature. Across the country, people are scrambling to get their taxes in by today's deadline. But Juneau residents who haven't filed have some extra time. The IRS announced in October that Juneau's taxpayers are responsible for disaster tax relief following August's glacial outburst flooding. Instead of needing to file by April 15th, residents have until May 1st to file business and individual tax returns. The extension also applies to quarterly tax returns that were due between last September and today. The tax relief deadline is available to any taxpayer who is registered with the IRS in the disaster area, which includes the city and borough of Juneau. These taxpayers do not need to contact the IRS. You can find more info by searching Juneau on irs.gov. And a new Juneau advocacy group called the Affordable Juneau Coalition filed three ballot petitions with the city and borough of Juneau last week. The group seeks to cap the property tax rate, to remove sales tax on food and utilities, and to make in-person voting the default again. The city uses a mill rate to calculate how much property tax residents pay to the city. One mill is equal to $1 per $1,000 in property value. Right now, the city caps the mill rate at 12 mills. The new petition seeks to drop it to 9 mills, which could lower property taxes in the future for property owners. But lower taxes could mean the city would have less money to pay for services. The petition to exempt essential food and residential utilities from sales tax could also save residents some money, but at a loss to the city. The city currently taxes food and utilities at 5%, which brings in a combined $10 to $12 million in revenue annually. If voters pass the initiative, the city would likely have to cut back on spending to make up for its lost revenue. The Juneau Assembly considered removing sales tax on food in 2022, but ultimately decided against it. The Juneau Assembly made by-mail voting the default in 2023. Last year, a group of residents tried unsuccessfully to repeal that ordinance. The new petition filed this year seeks to amend the language in that same ordinance to make elections poll-based again instead of by-mail. The group cites increased cost to conduct elections and slower results as the reason behind the initiative, according to the documents submitted to the city clerk's office. By-mail voting has been used by the city since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. In-person voting is still available at city vote centers. The city's law department and city clerk still need to review the three petitions. If they're approved, the Affordable Juneau Coalition has 30 days to gather just over 2,700 signatures for each petition to secure a spot on the ballot this October. And the Norwegian Bliss and its more than 4,000 passengers arrived in Juneau yesterday to kick off the 2025 cruise ship season. City officials say tourism this year is uncertain, but as KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, visitors and vendors started the season with optimism.
The familiar sound of tourists chatting on the seawalk, shuttle buses in the street, and chicken sizzling at Bernadette's barbecue fills the air Monday afternoon. That's as thousands of visitors funnel off the first cruise ship of the year and into Juneau to kick off the 2025 cruise ship season. Throughout the afternoon, tourists meandered down the seawalk, into downtown stores, and to the Mendenhall Glacier. Patricia Cespedes was headed to the Gold Belt Tram with her sister. She's from Peru, but currently lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, it was always in my wish, but I really wanted to come and see Alaska. Always looks so beautiful. It was in my bucket list.
Another visitor, Debbie Ohl of Pennsylvania, says she's on her way to catch a bus to the Mendenhall Glacier. She says she purposely booked a trip early into the season.
I took the cruise because I want to see glaciers and I want to see wildlife and I want to see mountains with snow and that, you know, anything they have to offer because I love winter. Winter's my favorite.
This blustery spring day might feel like a winter day for some visitors coming from down south, as cold rain drizzled down on the docks. Tyrone Payne with Juno Tours says sales have been great, and there haven't been any hiccups.
Yeah, we sold out of our whale watches immediately in less than an hour, and all of our times for the shuttle have been sold out already. We only have one time left for the day, so sales have been going really well.
City officials have warned of economic uncertainty this season. That's amid the Trump administration's tariffs and recent federal firings that could impact the operation of the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, which is Juneau's most popular tourist attraction. Out at the glacier, staff greet the tourists who trickle in.
It's my very first minute. How do you like that?
It's Sonny Leanna Wallace's first day greeting the public as a cultural ambassador.
Hello.
And she's excited to talk to the visitors.
Do you need any help finding anything?
Nugget Trail's right up here, right?
Yes. Just follow the sidewalk.
The ambassadors were hired by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska to share indigenous language, history, and culture with tourists. This year, they may serve a larger role at the glacier after the Trump administration's federal firings left the Forest Service's presence at the glacier in flux. Cultural Ambassador Supervisor Anka Dachstein, Jeremy Timothy, says he's excited to see how the first day goes so they can prepare for the rest of the season.
You know, we're going to do the best we can with what we got, and I'm feeling very optimistic about it.
There won't be any staff at the glacier on Saturdays, however, and Timothy says he doesn't know what that means for visitors.
You know, I mean, we've gone through quite a bit of hardships and things back and forth, but, you know, I'm hoping that things kind of turn out in a positive aspect for us.
But on Monday, the people coming off the buses are enchanted by the glacier, like Basilia Quintero from Mexico. She's a little overcome by the view and the cold weather, but she says not even her imagination prepared her for the glacier.
The things that I'm seeing today, sorry, I have the mouth frozen. Not even in my dreams.
Juneau is expected to see around 1.65 million passengers come off ships between now and late October when the season ends. The next ship, the Carnival Spirit, will arrive on Friday. With help from Yvonne Crumry, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
And tensions over a levee that's taking shape in backyards along Juneau's Mendenhall River have come to a head. One homeowner filed suit against the city seeking to exempt his property or be paid for it. Win or lose, the officials say the levy will go up. As KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, that could increase the cost to the city.
Stephen Bauer filed suit against the city last week, alleging that officials did not go through the right process for approving the levy intended to keep floodwaters out of Mendenhall Valley homes. The court filing asserts that the barriers will not benefit Bauer's property. His home was not damaged during the 2023 or 2024 glacial outburst floods. Scott Perkins, Bauer's attorney, says
he doesn't want to pay for this barrier. He doesn't want this barrier on his property. And in the alternative, if the barrier has to be put on the property, he deserves to be compensated for the amount of land that he has lost.
The lawsuit takes issue with an ordinance the city created. It's called a Local Improvement District, or LID, so it could spread 40% of the barrier construction cost among hundreds of landowners poised to benefit. Landowners had the opportunity to vote down the LID in February, but only a quarter formally objected. Both the U.S. Constitution and the Alaska Constitution forbid the government from taking private land for public use without paying them for it. And taking is the key word here. Emily Wright, the city's attorney, says the city isn't taking the land, since Bauer will still own the part of his property with the levee on it, which is meant to be temporary. But she says if a judge rules that the land is being taken, the city would have to pay all of the landowners hosting the barriers. It's called eminent domain,
which requires just compensation, because if we're not on people's property because of the LID, we have to have permission to be on their property somehow.
If a judge rules against the city's process, it wouldn't be able to charge any landowners for the project. City Manager Katie Kester says the assembly would have to decide whether and how to cover an estimated $3 million.
We're still actively pursuing, you know, grants, working with Tlingit and Haida on CDBG, Community Development Block Grant funding. And so, you know, we will continue to aggressively pursue those funding sources.
The court filing also alleges that the city didn't get the right permits to do the project. Perkins says that would have required an environmental assessment. Nate Rumsey, a city engineer, says the city didn't have to do that because the last flood prompted an emergency declaration. So the city got what's called a nationwide permit through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Rumsey says he anticipated a lawsuit like this. And if Bauer wins, the levee would still be built with some alterations.
We have alternatives from an engineering perspective available that could allow us to still provide protection to the rest of the community.
The city has to respond to the filing by the end of the month, and Perkins says a handful of other homeowners may soon join it. A court date has not yet been set. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And it's official. A Ketchikan woman now holds the Guinness World Record for largest female mouth gape. That's how wide you can open your mouth vertically. Guinness World Records announced Marie Pearl Zalmer Robinson as the new record holder in a video last week. A Ketchikan dentist measured her open jaw at over 3 inches wide. She shattered the previous record held by a Connecticut woman by more than half an inch.
Having a record for something is like making a fact for the whole world to learn from. And people look at that and they think, that's something that really exists. I wonder if I can do that.
Robinson said if anyone thinks they can beat her world-class jaw, she welcomes the challenge. This is KTOO.